It's a real privilege to be here this morning. This institution has meant a lot to me and my family, personal family, as well as church families that I have been privileged to pastor over the years. This morning, I know there are a lot of congregations that are gathered here this morning with all you pastors out there and ministers of music and other people, but I've recognized some folks. Time has made a change in some folks that I look out in the congregation, but I see some folks from Gethsemane Baptist Church. I was pastor of Gethsemane and Ebenezer Baptist Church when I started here as a student in a few years ago. And then had the privilege of pastoring Momire Baptist Church, was there for 4 years. And then this past Sunday, it marked the 17th year that I've had the privilege of pastoring in Apex Baptist Church. Way before all of those, I grew up in a congregation called Harris Chapel Baptist Church. That's up in Halifax County, a little place called Hollister. I have some members of my family that are here today, as well as some folks that are part of that congregation. God has used all those congregations to get me here. And all through those years, I've come to realize how much I need the Lord. And the promise that He's provided that He'll meet our needs according to His riches and glory. Most of you that are students here, if you know Dr. Patterson very well, you know that he's a man that very knowledgeable. I love to talk with him about theology, and I don't know of a subject that he doesn't know very well, but he's also a man that has a great sense of humor. And all the churches that I pastor, they know that I have a great sense of humor. Have a good time in living life and experiencing the love of Christ and loving people and letting the love of Christ flow through us to let know that God desires for us to be holy and in the midst of that holiness to be happy and enjoy this earthly walk. And I have my staff here from Apex Baptist Church. They're sitting right up here. They've come to be a sense of encouragement, and it's a staff that any pastor would love to have, the best staff on the face of God's green earth, and I'm privileged to serve with them over at Apex Baptist Church. But a few years ago, 1992, Dr. Paige Patterson came to Southeastern Seminary, and so I was pastoring over at Apex, and so I decided to invite Dr. Patterson over to speak to our folks, and it was on a Sunday night. Dr. Patterson, you remember coming to Apex? You remember that night? Well, that night Dr. Patterson came, and I was in another area of the church when he arrived, and so when I walked into the sanctuary, he was down front, so I immediately walked over, and Dottie Stamm, my minister of music, was with me there, and we just went up to just talk with him and talk about the service that night, and I said, Dr. Patterson, I want you to know that we have published in the paper that you're going to be here and that you're going to be speaking, and at the end of the service, it's going to be open for questions and answers. And in this part of the country, for a Texan to come to North Carolina with all of the news that preceded him, it was a big news in Apex. And Dr. Patterson coming early on in his ministry here as president. And so we were talking a little bit, and I looked out across the crowd, and there was one person that I did not recognize. It was a lady. She was sitting over to the left, and I said, Dr. Patterson, I've never seen her before. And we put in the paper, and you know, there are a lot of people have a lot of questions about what's going on in Southern Baptist life, and so you just be ready for anything. He said, Brother Phil, he says, tell you what, you have to watch out for ladies that come to church at night wearing a hat. And I went on and sat down. And after he stood up and started to talk, he said, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you my lovely wife, Dorothy, who is sitting over here to my left. I went through the pew. So it was an interesting first time of having Dr. Patterson, Dr. Paige and Dorothy Patterson over at Apex. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles. Would like to share with you a text of Genesis chapter 22. All of you know this text very well. Genesis chapter 22, you know, this chapter is about Father Abraham, and it's about Abraham and his son, and God coming to Abraham, and it says that he gave Abraham some instructions about leaving his home with his son and going to a mountain, Mount Moriah, and there he wanted to offer him as a burnt offering. You know, he made the trip and went up on the mountain, raised his knife, and the angel of God spoke, and and stayed the knife in his hand. And Abraham and his son worshiped, came down the mountain, came back to the service, and came back home. This morning, I want us to look at the first five verses of that chapter, and I want us to think about a title of a message that I have put together this morning that's called, What It Takes to Pass God's Test. What It Takes to Pass God's Test. Would you follow as I read the first five verses of Genesis chapter 22? Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up, and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for precious moments. We thank you for the truth that you reveal in your word and how you use people to reflect your glory. And this morning I pray that you will use Father Abraham to speak to each of our hearts concerning living life. And as we live life, as we are confronted with tests, to see the things that you have revealed here in this text, in your scripture, of how, as Abraham was able to pass your test, so you enable us. And you bless us through that and bless others through that. And you bring glory to yourself through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we lift this prayer. Amen. I know as a body of students here, you know what it means to take tests. And when you enter into the classroom, most of the time, the professors have a syllabus, and they will go over that syllabus with you, and they'll tell you some things like this, or at least that's what they used to tell me. It says, if you will attend the class regular and take good notes and enter into the discussion of the class, if you'll read the assigned reading, and then if you'll spend at least 2 hours every day for each hour that you spend in class, and then by the time the tests come, if you'll just review those tests, you'll come in here, you'll pass the test and these courses with flying colors. And all of you give testimony that that's true, that as you follow those instructions and do exactly what the professors say, you end up passing those tests and you're blessed and participated in those classes. But this morning, I want us to look at, understand that God uses man-made tests to prepare us to experience God-given tests, and there's sometimes a little difference in God's test and man's test. And we see this through Father Abraham. You know, it's a way of looking at understanding that God has revealed through Abraham an example that we can learn something today from about Abraham's life and the ingredients that went into Abraham passing God's test. And there are three things this morning that I want us to see that I believe are ingredients in passing God's test, and for us to see the necessity of living in a state of readiness. Abraham, in chapter 22, was in a state of readiness. How do we know that? You look at verse 1 of chapter 22. It said, sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am. Abraham replied. As we think about the conversation that went on there, I think it's important that we see that as God's creation and as God's children, God wants us to be able to hear God when He calls our name, to be sensitive to God calling our name, and for it to be so personal that God knows our name and that God calls our name, and that we are in a state of readiness and we are able to hear Him when He calls our name. I think one of the saddest things that we'll learn when we get to the other side is to look back at life and life's journey, and God reveals to us all the times that He called our name and we were so involved in our own thing rather than His thing that we didn't even hear Him. But here we see that Abraham was in a state of readiness, because when God spoke to him, Abraham heard God call to him. And we see here the importance of being willing to hear God and to heed God. I remember as a young boy, I would be out in the yard and I would be involved in shooting basketball in the backyard. And mother would call from the back porch. And I would be so involved in playing my imaginary game. And it was in the last minute of the game, and the ball was passed to me, and I was going to take the last shot. And I didn't even hear her call my name. And there were times when I heard her call, and the response that I would make to her is, "Wait just a minute." And I think as I look back over life, in my own life, that there have been times in my life when I would say that, when God was calling my name, and I would be in that frame of mind of not in a state of readiness, of being willing to hear God and to heed Him, and in my own spirit, I would say, "God, just wait a minute," and miss out on a very special thing that God had in store for my life that could never, ever be reclaimed. This morning, I want us to understand the importance of being good listeners in our relationship with our Heavenly Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us are better talkers than we are listeners, and it's easy for us to talk to God, or seemingly, supposedly, that we're talking to God, but you know, it's a lot harder to be a good listener of God. We see that in our relationships of husbands and wives and parents to children and pastors to our parishioners, that a lot of times that we are not as good of listeners as we ought to be. And I want us to learn a lesson here from Abraham that it's an ingredient, a very important ingredient, if we're going to pass God's test, that we be in a state of readiness. And a part of that is that we need to be good listeners of God. Not only do we need to be good listeners like Abraham, he says, "Here I am. Here I am, God," which was revealing a state of readiness. It reveals a sense that I can understand of in the military when we're called to attention and we are reporting to an officer that is in a higher position than we are, and they call our name and we stand at attention and we salute and we say, "Here I am." And we are reporting for duty and willing to serve God in a very steadfast way. But not only is it important for us to be good listeners, it is important for us in our understanding of readiness that we are willing to see the importance of being willing to go where God wants us to go. Being willing to go where God wants us to go. In the text it says, "I want you to go to the land of Moriah." Abraham had already learned early in his call that God said, "I want you to leave your land and go where I'm going to take you." And so God had already tested him early in his life, and now there was a retesting to see if Abraham had learned. And we see that Abraham heard God. He said, "I want you to go to Moriah, to one of the mountains which I will show you at a right time." And so we see that Abraham was a good listener that reveals his readiness, and he was one who was willing to go where God wanted him to do. And thirdly, we see that that which is important in being ready is that he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. If you look at this text, I'm not sure that Abraham wanted to do what God wanted him to do, but he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. Here is Isaac. He had waited for Isaac. He had prayed for Isaac all of these years, and the promises of the covenant were found in his son Isaac. And God wanted to show Abraham and wanted Abraham to learn something about himself that God already knew, and he wanted to take him to a place there. I have found in my ministry that God wanted to reveal to me some things that he knew about me that I didn't know about myself, as far as my commitment, as far as my willingness to hear God and to be willing to go where God wanted me to go and to do what God wanted me to do. And he said, I want you to sacrifice him there as a burnt offering to me. We can speculate on Abraham's thoughts, but God's word reveals what Abraham did. And I want you to understand the way that we are measured as it relates to readiness is how we are able to hear God and we are able to heed and make ourselves available. And then when God speaks, we are ready to go where God wants us to go and to do what God wants us to do. I remember in 1973, I was a member of Bethany Baptist Church in Portsmouth, Virginia. I was serving in the youth department. I was a deacon in the church. And we had some special services in August of 73. That was a good month for me in the year 1973. Our daughter, Dana, was born to us on August the 16th that year in August. And that was the year that God called me into ministry. I really didn't know what God was doing, but I heard Him. And it's interesting that as I think back to that time, Dr. Cal Guy, who is a professor here in missions, had come to Portsmouth, Virginia, and he was preaching. He'd been preaching all week. And I was sitting in maybe the second pew that evening. He'd been preaching all week, and people had been responding, but that night, God spoke to me, and I came forward, and Dr. Guy was one who, when he preached, he came down to receive people at the invitation, and all week, he had been receiving people, but on this night, he did something different than he'd ever done. I walked up, and he was standing there, and he took my hand, and he said, Brother Phil, he says, don't say a word. Don't you say a word. He said, I want you to just be quiet. He said, I'm going to stop the music, and I'm going to let you share with these people while you've come. Now listen, he didn't ask me. He didn't ask me if I would be willing to do that. He just said, I'm going to stop the music, and he stopped the music, and the next thing that I know, I was turned around looking at the congregation. He says, now Brother Phil, tell these people why you've come. And I said, God has spoken to me, and I'm not sure what the end results of this or the ramifications are going to be. But I'm surrendering to the Lord tonight, totally. And whatever His will is for my life, I will obey. He looked at the congregation. He says, if there's someone that will come up here and pray for this young man. And it seemed like 5 minutes, nobody moved. And finally, a old gentleman who wasn't even a member of the church came up and put his arm around me, Mr. Gardner, and he prayed for me. And 3 years to the month, God took me through making decisions that brought me to a full surrender of full-time ministry in August of 1976. God used Dr. Guy in a very special way, and I thank God for the wisdom of Dr. Patterson that has brought Dr. Guy here in this time of his life, a man that walks with God. Let me give you a word of encouragement, students, and a little advice. I won't charge you a thing for this. But if I were you, if I had some free time, I'd set a date with Dr. Guy just to take him out to lunch. And just talk with him and see the presence of Christ in his life. And just let God speak to you. And let him show you a man he's been using for a long time about the importance of being ready as it relates to passing God's test. There's a second thing I want to share with you this morning. And that is about being ready. Is that an ingredient is obedience. Abraham demonstrated absolute obedience. Look at verse 3. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and he saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut the wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. I'm reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14 when he says, if you love me, you will obey me. Today, we look at a culture that looks at love and the symbol is a heart. We as God's children look at love and we look at a cross. And we see where real love comes from one who was innocent that took our place. And we see that that God's Son was willing to obey Him to the ultimate, to demonstrate for every generation that would ever live on this earth, that love is not so much a feeling, but love is an action as it comes under the direction of our Heavenly Father. We see Abraham in this particular time was a forerunner of that event that was to take place in demonstrating his love for his Heavenly Father. It says that early the next morning, at that first opportunity, he was willing not only to hear and to heed in demonstrating unreadiness, but he was willing to act on the willingness that he had. So many times we are willing and yet we do not follow through. Abraham was one who early the next morning, he got up and it says that he got the donkey ready and he got his servants and he got Isaac and he even himself chopped the wood that he would use to make the sacrifice, and all of a sudden he started down that road that God had shown him. Not revealing everything, he says, now I want you to go to a region of Moriah, and then once you get to the right place, then I'll show you the mountain. That's always what God does. He gives us leadership, but he doesn't show us the end result of everything at that time. That's what it means to trust him and to walk in obedience and know the power that is found in simply being obedient. Our Heavenly Father delights in his children who walk in obedience. He delighted in his son who learned obedience, who gives us the ultimate example. But Abraham is one that we can look at, and he can reveal to us a truth about that ingredient in passing God's test. Number one is a state of readiness. And secondly, it is a state of walking in obedience that demonstrates real love that we have received from the Father that we give back to him. When I was a student here at Southeastern Seminary, I traveled. I lived over in Nash County and rode to the seminary every day, and I brought my daughter, and she stayed over at the Ruby Reed, over at the school there, and we would ride together, and I was driving a little red Datsun pickup. It would be a little over $40,000. And I saw that the money was not coming in. Inflation was going higher than it was to build the parsonage, and so they were losing money by waiting until they got the $20,000, but they had decided they had to have $20,000. And so I went to the deacons, and I said, deacons, if this church is going to build that parsonage, then you deacons are going to need to come forward as leaders. And I want to challenge each of you to commit $500 apiece as a challenge to the whole church. And out of that, I believe God's going to use that to raise enough money so they can start building the parsonage. So the deacons were challenged by that, and they prayed about it, and they felt like that was something that God was leading them to do. And as I was riding back, now listen, I was pastoring two churches and was a seminary student. Now, I want you seminary students to relate to me, but as I was riding back from Southeastern Seminary one day, and Dana was sitting in the pickup with me, as clear as anything I've ever heard from God, God said, Phil, you challenged your deacons. Now, I'm challenging you. You're going to have to give $500 yourself. Well, listen, I didn't have anything in the savings account. We were just, Kathy, my wife, she'd always look at that checking account, and we would just, you know how you hope that the days of the month run out because the money, you don't have any more money. And so the Lord was just as clear as he could be. And I didn't have any money in savings, and I didn't have any collateral. And I said, Lord, I know you're speaking to me, but I'll tell you, when I get home, I want to be sure that you've spoken to Kathy. And I'll know if you've spoken to me because you have spoken to her. And I walked in the door, and I said, Kathy, God told me today that if we're going to raise this money, we're going to have to give $500. And she said, fine. I went down to the bank. And I went to the banker and I said, I'm pastor here. I hadn't been here long, but I would wonder if you would loan me $500. I don't have any collateral, just on my signature. And he took out a sheet of paper and he wrote out a loan for $500. And I signed it and took $500. And stood before the church and shared the giving of $500 in obedience to what the Lord had told me. And we raised that $20,000, and the parsonage was built in that year. And some of the people in the church says, well, you know, he's giving $500 because he wants to live in a new house. He wants to move out of the old parsonage and live in a new house. And you know what? As soon as that parsonage was built, or before it was built, God called me to another church field. I never lived one day in the new parsonage that they built. But 1 week after I had made the loan, I received a gift in the mail for $1,200 that had no idea that that would come or that I would get that money, and paid off that loan without paying one penny of interest. God calls us to a state of readiness and to a state of obedience. Very quickly, thirdly, God calls us to a walk of faith. Look at Abraham in verses 4 and 5. He says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I go and the boy and go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, without faith, is impossible to please God. And as we walk by faith, I want you to see what faith does in Abraham's life and what faith will do in our life. It'll cause us to see things that nobody else sees. It is just a way that as Abraham got close, on the third day, God said, Abraham, I want to show you the place where you're going with your son. And he was able to see that. It doesn't indicate anybody else was able to see that. And faith will give you the opportunity to instruct other people with what they are supposed to do and what you're supposed to do in accordance with what God's will is for the moment. And he told his servants, he says, you know, you stay here with the donkey. My son Isaac and I are going to go on ahead to the mountain. But the third thing that you see here, folks, and I don't want you to miss this in verse 5, I want you to see that statement that he says. He says, we will worship and then we will come back to you. Here is a child of God, Abraham, who demonstrates what it really means to walk in trusting a heavenly Father. The scripture says that Abraham had, in a sense, already given up his son. And God knew his heart, and God was revealing something in Abraham's life that Abraham needed at this particular time in his life as he was continuing to live out his life, is the fact that God knew that Abraham loved him more than he loved his son Isaac, and God wanted Abraham to realize that himself, because he loved this son with all of his heart, and yet God said, Abraham, I want you to reach another level of knowing that you love me more than the gift of a son that I've given you. And I believe today, if we're going to pass God's test, as seminary students, as professors, as pastors, whoever we are, we need to recognize that if there is something in our life that God has blessed us with and we're holding on to that, or that is something that is more important to us in our love relationship with the Heavenly Father, then we need to give that up like Abraham was able to give Isaac up, and then to demonstrate that in a literal way. Because we see that as he made that faith statement, he walked up that mountain, and his son even began to question him, but he got up on the mountain, and it says that he took his son, and he put him on that altar, and he raised the knife. But Abraham was one who was still listening to God, and said the angel shouted to him, and he says, here I am, I'm listening to you, Lord. And he looked over, and there was a ram in the thicket, and he took the lamb, and he made the sacrifice. And he worshiped God. And we learned a lesson through Abraham's life that God was glorified. Because if you take your Bibles real quick, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And you'll see in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 19, are talking about Abraham. And Abraham who stood the test of time in his walk with his Heavenly Father. You see it from the beginning to this point in his life, of three different occasions that are revealed here in this faith chapter about a man who was ready, a man who lived in a state of readiness, a man who walked in obedience, a man who lived by faith. And we see it demonstrated when he left his homeland and he was obedient to the Father to go where God was leading him. We see it when God gave him a son, Isaac, and we see it when he went on the mountain, and he went to the mountain and he was willing to sacrifice his son, demonstrating his love relationship for his Heavenly Father. This morning, as we think about a love relationship and we think about living life, I want you to know that tests from God are very positive. They let us know where we are and the condition that we're in spiritually as we walk with Him. And God uses those times and testing in our life. And I hope that they will never end, that God will not be testing me concerning my intimate love relationship with Him and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, And I pray that God will always cause me to remember a man named Abraham who stood the test of time and one who used these ingredients in passing God's test that brings to us today a living example of students and families and churches about the things that it takes to pass God's test. Readiness, obedience, and walking in faith. And when God uses us individually and collectively as His people, then a world around us will see the glory of Jesus Christ. And we can share with them the hope that is within us, that gives us the hope not only for time, but for all of eternity. This morning, I hope that all of you as students will do well. As you take tests here at seminary, I hope you pass the test, the man-made test that you will find in your classrooms. But the greater prayer that I have for you is that you will understand that there's a God that provides tests. And I hope that you will use these ingredients that you see that were used in Abraham's life as God uses you to pass His test, and that He'll use you to bring glory to Himself in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you join with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank You for lessons of life. We thank You for Father Abraham. And we thank You for the power of the truth of Your Word that is available to each of us today as You continue to bless us with physical life and spiritual life. And I pray, Father, that You would help us to be a people that are eager to hear You. Father, as we hear You call our name, that we have a great desire to heed what You have to say. Father, as You create within us the desire to be good listeners, I pray that You would also give us the willingness to be willing to do and to go where You would have us to go. That You could use us as vessels that are empty of self, filled with Your Spirit, knowing the Lordship of Jesus Christ, knowing the faithfulness that You provide for us as the great intercessor at the right hand of the Father that causes Your church to be salt and light to the generation that You have set before us. I thank You for this institution. I thank You for President Patterson and for the professors and all of those that You use here as vessels that build up men and women as vessels that you will use not only here, but You will use in the uttermost parts of Your world, that a world will be able to see Jesus in us and see Jesus lifted up through us. And may You draw all people to Yourself through Your Son, the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift this prayer.